It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ference is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ference cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ference Toth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me, yourpersonalbank.com. There was an interesting article here from A Wealth of Common Sense as they were sharing new all-time highs in nearly everything. And as they were pointing out, the U.S. stock market has never been higher. Gold recently was at an all-time high. Of course, since the election, gold has started to fall back some now. Bitcoin is also seeing all-time highs. So is housing, although in some areas it's starting to come back some. And as the point is, this blog is stating, is that none of this makes sense. Not all of these things being at or near all-time highs all at the same time just does not make sense. It does not make any common sense. And that's why this Wall Street Journal article is quite interesting. It's titled, Does Warren Buffett Know Something That We Don't? And as they state, Berkshire Hathaway is hoarding cash in a pattern not seen since before the financial crisis. And I like what they point out here. They say, when the world's most followed investor does not feel comfortable investing, should the rest of us be concerned? It's a very valid question. Here's a few other key points about what Warren Buffett has been doing recently. According to the Wall Street Journal, he has never taken this much off the table. He's never sold this much stock in his entire career. He holds over $300 billion in cash, mostly in treasury bills, and he's remaining very cautious on any new investments. In fact, in the third quarter of this year, 2024, Warren Buffett did not buy a single dime of stock. I do not believe that has occurred at any point in his investing career. And as he often himself states, he doesn't try to market time and likes to focus on long-term compounding, but he has a history of building cash reserves in times of high valuations. For example, prior to the 2008 Great Recession. And there's a number of analysts from BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, Vanguard are all predicting low stock market returns, anywhere from 3 to 5% annually for the next decade. The primary reasons are that stocks are overvalued at over 200% GDP, and Warren Buffett's own indicator, the Buffett indicator, also showing the same pattern of stocks being way overvalued. And as this Wall Street Journal article finalizes, states, Buffett may be trying to keep dry powder for future opportunities with holding a large amount of money in T-bills because stocks, particularly U.S. stocks, are just too expensive. Now, there's a number of theories of why he's doing this. Why is Warren Buffett selling so much stock, more than at any point in his history, his career? Some have put out that he may be selling to save on future taxes. But frankly, there's very little evidence to support that. And now with the Trump presidency and the Republicans controlling the House and Senate, it's highly unlikely that taxes are going to increase in the near future. And if anything, might actually decrease some. So that logic does not make any sense. The most popular theories is that he believes stocks are just overvalued. There are plenty of recession warnings, and he's stockpiling money for potential acquisitions. Near-term market overvaluation is the most convincing argument. And what I find is interesting about all of this is that Warren Buffett's favorite book, The Intelligent Investor, he considers still the best book about investing ever written. It's in its third edition and is one of the best-selling books on investing all time. I have read that book, and the bottom line is that The Intelligent Investor, the key concept in the book is value investing, purchasing stocks when they're undervalued and selling them when they're overvalued. It's just not that complicated. Easier said than done, granted, but not complicated. According to this article, the stock market has gone up over 30% in 1 year, 8 times in the past 100 years. And the point of the article is simple. What's the likelihood of the market going up significantly next year after such a strong increase this year? Statistically, the answer is very low. So when you have a situation where we've had an extremely strong upside market, overvaluation at historical highs, legendary investors like Warren Buffett selling more stock, not buying stock, at the highest points in their careers. These are all things that are screaming for caution. Proceed with caution. And one of the commonly accepted financial principles that are taught from a financial literacy standpoint is it's much like the gambler at the table who has gambled and done well, and the chips have piled up. When does a smart gambler cash out? See, it goes back to the basic human emotions of fear and greed. This is why Vegas has beautiful casinos and Wall Street financially does so well, because emotionally, it's really very difficult to pull away after making tremendous gains. I've shared this story of a person I met with recently who is ecstatic because her portfolio had increased by 21% last year. And my point to her was, it could go up 21% next year or go down 21% next year. And she said, of course. But she goes, she was giddy. And as Warren Buffett famously has always said, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. He's backing up those words by his actions. His actions are clearly stating, by selling more stock than he has at any point in his career, by not purchasing any new stock in the past quarter, by taking more off the table than he has at any point in his career. This is all according to the Wall Street Journal. It's much like the gambler who's won and won big, starts taking the chips off the table, the winnings off the table. Now, I'm not saying you to get out completely, but doesn't it make sense, much like Warren Buffett, by taking your contributions off the table, you're playing with house money. Now, granted, it's not fun if it goes down in the future, but if it does, you didn't lose any of your money. You're playing with the house money or the winnings, the paper gains only. That is a strategy often employed by gamblers and investors, frankly. Warren Buffett is employing much of the same strategy as we speak by taking much of his contributions off the table, leaving the winnings to potentially go up from here. But again, if lost, no real loss occurred because it was all just a paper gain. This is what is meant when you hear successful investors discuss, let your winners run. Now, if you're going to peel off some of your contributions, let your winners run, but take their contributions off the table so you're playing with house money, thereby reducing your overall risk and not getting hurt by a future downturn, where do you put your money? Bonds are a familiar option. Of course, they do not involve no risk. Bonds, that is, typically have lesser risk. Unfortunately, if a bond fails, it fails completely. So unlike a stock, it's unusual where a stock will go down 100%. Bonds usually succeed or fail. They tend to fail far less often than stocks, why they're considered generally less risky. But when they do fail, they fail 100%. And that's why it's strongly recommended to diversify if you're going to invest in bonds. If you own 10 bonds, one happens to fail, you only lose 10% of that position. Other options are things like CDs. They have FDIC insured, guaranteed with banks. The disadvantage of a CD is you do lock your money up for that period of time. So if you purchase a one-year CD, you really can't touch it for a year without a penalty. Other options are annuities. Annuities have advantages being tax deferred. You can invest in indexes, so they have strong upside potential, double-digit returns in good market years with principal guaranteed, which means no downside risk in bad market years. We have annuities currently that historically over the last 20 years have averaged around 6 to 8% annually. Part of the reason why they do so well is if you don't participate in the down market years, your overall average return can be much stronger. You can reallocate these different indexes each year. They also, some have a strong fixed interest option. We currently have an annuity that pays over 7% guaranteed first year, for example. A-plus rated. Company's been around since the late 1800s. Very strong option for somebody who's looking to grow their money, yet has some downside protection, guarantee the downside risk. For most people, it makes sense to have a portion of their portfolio protected that way. The disadvantage or the catch with an annuities are they're not fully liquid. You typically have access to 10% of the account value per year. Now, if you put all your money into an annuity, that could potentially be a problem. But if we're talking only a portion of the money, the 40%, 60-40% split, for example, that's much less of an issue because 60% of your portfolio is still typically highly liquid. If liquidity is an issue and you want to reduce your taxes, well, that's where your personal bank high cash value dividend paying policies come in. You can invest your money insured with guarantees, income tax-free growth, access, and pass to your heirs, and highly liquid, typically anywhere from 2/3 to 85% liquidity day one. This is a tool that allows you to grow your money safely, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, as I've stated, yet be able to easily access the funds for any purpose, including re-engaging into the market after a correction if that interests you. Depending on your situation, one or more of those options could be a very viable tool for you for that safer or guaranteed portion of your portfolio. That 60-40 split that's often recommended with modern portfolio theory. If you're interested in more information on this, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I strongly suggest and encourage you to consider taking some of those winnings off the table. Protect yourself. To stay engaged, fully engaged, for too long often leads to negative results and sometimes even disaster. Putting your money in something that's insured, guaranteed, and even tax-free and highly liquid now reduces your tax liability in the future. And with being highly liquid, like your personal bank allows you to re-engage, much like Warren Buffett is doing with treasury bills, allows you to re-engage after a correction. And again, as Warren Buffett famously has always said, be greedy when others are fearful, but be fearful when others are greedy. Rarely have we seen higher bullish sentiment in the stock market. So if you follow the intelligent investor or Warren Buffett, this is when you should be fearful or concerned. This is when you take winnings off the table, put them into something insured, guaranteed, safe, highly liquid, so you can re-engage in the future. If you want to add tax-free to that, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I can show you how to do that and take advantage of the next opportunity, the next correction, when it occurs. And lastly, this is my third rodeo. This is my 25th year in this business. When people start feeling giddy, when people start thinking the markets are never going to go down again, folks, that's the time to get out. That's the time to get out of the way, look out below, protect your downside, because it's when you least expect it most often is when the correction occurs. Stay tuned in the next segment. I've got some few other thoughts on this and some key points with the Federal Reserve that you're not going to want to miss. I'm Ference Toth, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. I'm excited to announce a special event with John Burley, Saturday, January 18th in Phoenix, sponsored by Money Radio. John, what are you be sharing?
We're going to be covering from my book, Money Secrets of the Rich, the 7 levels of investors, so you can clearly identify where you're at and what you need to do to move forward with your money. We're also going to cover the 7 money steps of the rich, including the automatic money system. And then we're going to finish up with how to safely and securely make far more money than the stock market in real estate.
And I will share how to grow your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid, and how to gain positive cash flow on your money. Your personal bank can enhance personal finances, business investments, and real estate investing.
So don't miss this unique opportunity to not only learn, but meet other successful investors.
Register at yourpersonalbank.com. Join us January 18th. Space is extremely limited. And tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show Tuesdays at noon.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. Just a last thought about the bullish sentiment that we're seeing in the markets. There's no question that recently the stock market has had a tremendous run, a historical run, one of the best in history. After the election, we saw another jump to the upside. There's valid reasons for that happening. Many in the business community believe that the Trump administration will be more favorable to business, lower taxes, less regulation. All these types of things are good for the economy, good for business. And to be excited about the future is a natural reaction for many people. Again, particularly in the business community. I myself am very bullish and excited about the direction of our country. I'm very happy. I've seen a lot of people even be euphoric. I am very bullish about the future economy of our country. But there remain some significant problems, some significant concerns. And don't allow, what I'm trying to say is don't allow the euphoria around you, the bullish, extreme bullish sentiment around you, allow you to stay too long invested in something that probably has far more risk than you realize, most people, that is, and certainly has significant risk of correction because of the extreme movements we've seen to the upside, particularly recently. And here's some of the reasons why I say this. Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, just issued a very dour warning on the economy. And the question in this article with Motley Fool is the bull market in trouble? And as Jerome Powell states, the growing national debt is a threat to the economy. The U.S. debt to GDP ratio has doubled over the past generation. And they state deficits are expected to expand over the Trump administration. That remains to be seen. But here's what I do know. Regardless of what the Trump administration does regarding financial policy, fiscal policy, if they do everything right, they get spending, government spending under control. If they can eliminate deficit spending through the Department of Government Efficiency and other mechanisms, and even start to pay down some of the debt, which would be remarkable. You don't pay $36 trillion of debt off overnight. In fact, it's something that will likely take years, if not decades. As excited and upbeat as many people are, and rightly so, we can't forget that Trump doesn't take office until January. Our federal government is still spending record amount of money. The International Monetary Fund just issued a dire warning on the United States' loose fiscal policy, pointing out that the United States spent $1.9 trillion more than it received in the past fiscal year of 2024. Just ended in October, actually. And they call it a debt explosion. And this is why the International Monetary Fund issued a stark warning for the need for the United States to get its finances in order. And according to the International Monetary Fund, to correct this, as they state, the path is narrow. Delaying adjustment increases the risk of financial challenges that will hurt the economic activity. Success is going to require staying on a course by implementing gradual and credible multi-year adjustments without delay. What they're pointing out is fixing this problem is not going to be easy. A lot of things need to go right for it to work effectively without having significant economic upheaval. And there's a lot of things out there that could cause it to go wrong or be a very bumpy ride. Even some of the most bullish economists that I read and discuss believe there's going to be significant volatility. Let's use a simple example. I'm all for increasing government efficiency. By all means, it needs to be done. But even Elon Musk himself has said it's going to create some economic havoc. Deporting millions of illegals will have a significant economic impact on a lot of areas of this country, a lot of economic sectors. Housing, for example, rentals, various things like that could be affected significantly in certain regions more so than others. Letting go, for example, a large number of federal employees could have significant employment issues as they transition to private sector, for example. These are things that need to be done. Don't get me wrong, but there's going to be an adjustment period. I'm not trying to sound dour or be a Debbie Downer. I'm as excited as anyone that I believe the country is starting to head in the right direction, a positive direction. But from an economic standpoint, we've gone so far down the path for so long, the wrong way, incurring massive amounts of debt, that to fix this, it's like ripping off the Band-Aid. Folks, it's going to hurt for a while until it gets better. And I've run into some people who just think, oh, Trump's going to get in, he's going to fix everything, everything's going to be awesome right away. But let me use a historical example. I was rather young, but I still remember Carter to Reagan transition. There's no question that the economy was in terrible shape. Interest rates were double digit. Inflation was out of control. Reagan and Paul Volcker, the Federal Reserve Chair at the time, imposed a number of economic policies that ultimately resolved the situation and led to the 1980s boom economy. But folks, it took a couple of years for it to turn around and get better. And there was a lot of pain involved. If you remember, Paul Volcker raised the Federal Reserve rate to 20%. We're below 5% right now. We're nowhere near that level. Now, it did finally kill inflation dead after fighting it for a decade. But there was some economic pain involved to get that done and get that resolved. On the positive side, there will be some things that will happen fairly quickly. Energy costs with drill, baby, drill could certainly create a situation where energy costs can be driven down fairly quickly. I'd say within 6 months to a year. If Trump can stop some wars or end a war or two, that'll reduce a lot of spending. Certainly the spending to Ukraine can be stopped pretty much immediately. The spending for all the illegal aliens, food, clothing, housing, obviously, all that spending can be eliminated pretty much immediately. Those are very helpful things. But again, the spending that's caused the level of debt we see, that's probably the biggest problem we're dealing with, economically speaking. That's going to create a situation where bonds will remain stronger with stronger returns for an extended period of time. Because the federal government has so much debt, it sells bonds to support that debt, and that continues to get rolled over as bonds mature, the government will be forced to continue to roll over and resell those bonds until that debt can be paid down, which, again, will take years, if not decades, to get to a reasonable level. It's very easy to see where bond interest rates will remain strong for the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer. Vanguard has predicted recently the next 10 years will see strong bond return rates. Again, it's difficult to buy bonds unless you're an institutional investor, like a Warren Buffett or an insurance company or sovereign wealth fund or pension fund. But you can purchase a Your Personal Bank policy, a dividend-paying policy, where the insurance company buys bonds and increases the returns on that due to their profits as a company. So you can get a 6% plus insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid return right now that's likely going to be increasing over the next several years. About 7% is the historical average. We fully expect to see that in the near future. You can take advantage. There's opportunities through these situations. Also, as I stated earlier, this is not me stating it, but BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, Vanguard are all predicting 3 to 5% annual returns in the stock market over the next decade. Well, if you could get 6 to 7% tax-free and guaranteed without any downside risk, isn't that something worth considering? If you want more information on it, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. Stay tuned in the next segment. Got a few more things to share with you regarding the bonds and the bond market I think you'll find very interesting. This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7 to 8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you'll reach me. It's yourpersonalbank.com. So that's why you're starting to see some articles here, for example, with MarketWatch stating why no more than 60% of your retirement money belongs in stocks. As they state in this article, bonds have kept pace with stocks throughout U.S. market history. Granted, in the past recent years, that's not been the case. We've seen a historic stock market, but BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, and others are predicting that the stock market will likely underperform the bond market over the next decade. And if you look at this historically, over, say, the last 100 years or so, that bears out to be true. In fact, this point of this article is when you have a situation where people are pointing to the stock market outperforming bonds, it really all depends on what starting point you use. In other words, people are playing with the numbers in their starting point. You can pick a time frame where it's more favorable by taking out some of the big downturns, like the Great Depression, for example, and use a favorable starting point for the stocks to show stocks outperform bonds. Yet, if you take it over the past 100 years or so, a longer-term view, you quickly find out that is not necessarily true. And that's why the 60-40 allocation, 60% stocks, 40% in bonds, has been around and popular for so long. Now, the one point I make is it doesn't necessarily have to be bonds. In fact, again, you can use annuities or high dividend-paying insurance policies that often pay as much or more than bonds with even greater safety. They have guarantees. Bonds are not guaranteed. They're typically lower risk than stocks, of course, but they're not guaranteed in most cases, unless you buy a guaranteed bond, and those usually pay less. If you look at an annuity, particularly today, it's the best time in over 40 years to look into an annuity, if you're considering that, or a dividend-paying insurance policy, the returns on those typically are about double of what an insured bond pays, and dividend-paying insurance policies, of course, are tax-free if it's set up correctly. So even MarketWatch in these articles are discussing how bonds are a strong option to consider. And then recently, the 10-year Treasury has now kicked through another key resistance level. And as they point out, it is on its way back up to 5%, which is troubling for the stock market. This is why. Many of your large institutional investors, they're really just focused, like pension funds and such, just are focused on getting a positive return. They really are risk adverse. They don't want to see negative returns. When the bond returns are low, they're willing to take on more risk in the stock market to try to obtain a return. When the bond markets go stronger, they tend to pull out their money out of stocks and move them more into the bond market because, well, again, why not get 5% guaranteed in a treasury bond, considered one of the safest investments out there, without market risk, and you can accomplish your goal as a pension fund, for example. Why this is so significant to the stock market is these are some of the biggest money managers out there, some of the biggest accounts. So when the big money starts pulling out, of course, that negatively affects the stock market. So again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. It's been a tremendous run. There's no question about it in the stock market. I've been stating this for a while. Many ways, just keeps like piling on. Seems like it gets better and better. And this election results, we saw another jump to the upside. The euphoria levels are off the charts. The excitement level is off the charts. Much of this upside we've seen in the last couple of years has been because of AI. Yet we're starting to see some cracks in that. People are coming to realize that the amount of energy needed to really implement AI is astounding. And it reminds me so much of the dot-com bubble. As I stated, I was involved with that, saw it. I was in the financial business. I experienced it intimately, both personally and through clients. And this just feels much the same. The dot-com bubble was built on a lot of hype at the time. Through Silicon Valley, the dot-com companies, we were going through the roof. There were even a point where people were saying the stock market would never go down again. And at the peak, March of 2000, the next couple of years, it dropped 45%. The markets did. The bubble burst. I can't predict what's exactly going to happen this time. No one can. All we can do is go by what has happened in the past. Some of it's gut feeling. Some of it is looking at the economic indicators, looking at the facts, looking at the numbers, but some of it's just a gut feeling. And folks, I just want you to understand, this one just more and more feels like the dot-com bubble. And I've seen a lot of analysts using the same analogy. It gives you the same spidey sense, if you know what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of hype going on with the AI. AI is nowhere near ready to be implemented on a significant level. And even if it was, the amount of energy we would need to produce to make it happen is not there. My personal opinion is we're going to see some kind of correction, likely severe. That's just not me. That's many, many analysts and such. And even because of the significant levels of increase, over 200 stocks being valued at over 200% of GDP, the Buffett indicator. By their actions, some of the best recognized investors in history, like Warren Buffett, are doing the same thing. So I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this to give you some facts and maybe a different perspective from what you're hearing from Wall Street, which is in a emotion of euphoria. And that in itself should cause concern, should make you want to step back, reduce your risk, reduce your exposure, get into some guaranteed assets. And again, if BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, Vanguard, all these different analysts are correct in their predictions of 3-5% annually returns for the next decade. Oh, folks, your guaranteed assets, like annuities and dividend-paying stocks, we're going to look back and realize, wow, that was the better option. You actually had a higher return in the safer assets, which, by the way, happens about half the time. I shared in a previous show, in the last 120 years, we've had 6 lost decades, so half the time. So this would not be unusual. Actually, it would follow the typical historical pattern. So consider reducing your risk. I'm just strongly encouraging you to do that. Protect some of your portfolio. Don't keep all the chips on the table. Just because it did well this past year or the past several years, by no means is it going to do the same thing going forward in the future years. In fact, it could be very much the opposite. And that's the key that you need to understand. And lastly, I'll leave you on this thought for this segment. I know many people work with a financial advisor, and that's well and good. And again, the past several years, that has worked out really well for many people. And most of those advisors are focused on growing your assets. And that's, again, all well and good. I have no issue with that. But from a mindset, a licensing standpoint, a product standpoint, somebody who's focused on growth typically is not focused on protection, guarantees, limiting the downside. It's a hard mindset to switch back and forth. I'm the first to say, if you're looking for the next NVIDIA, I'm not your man. But if you're looking to grow your money safely, guaranteed, insured, reduce your taxes, have high liquidity, and have consistent, steady growth on your money, that's what I focus on. That's my wheelhouse. And some of the most successful investors I know have more than one advisor. In other words, they have their growth person, and they have their steady, consistent, risk-averse person. No one can argue the diversification. Everyone understands diversification mitigates risk and is a good idea at all times, but even more so in more highly volatile times and uncertain futures ahead. Most advisors don't want you to talk to somebody else. I understand that because, well, they receive money under management. That's for most cases. And if you take a portion of your portfolio away, it's less income for them. It's just that simple. That's not good. It's not bad. It's just a fact. I'm not going to tell you to get out of the stock market completely. I'm going to tell you to diversify. And if you want to do some of your portfolio into some safe, insured, guaranteed, tax-free areas, I'm going to help you do that. And you want to keep some of the other monies in a position to continue to grow, I'm going to encourage you to do that also. In fact, frankly, that's what's best for most people. So if you're listening to somebody who's growth-oriented, growth-focused, it's not their fault. I'm not picking on them. Please understand, to try to change the mindset, to switch, flip the switch, if you will, it's extraordinarily difficult, even from a human nature standpoint. If you want a second opinion, I guess is what I'm trying to say, I encourage you to contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. And I believe you just will not regret placing some of your portfolio in a position where it's guaranteed and reducing your overall risk, your overall exposure to the markets, especially after what it's done in this recent period, this past year or several years. Again, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com for more information. Stay tuned in the last segment. I got a few more things I think you'll find very interesting. So don't miss it.
I'm Ference Toth, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. I'm excited to announce a special event with John Burley, Saturday, January 18th in Phoenix, sponsored by Money Radio. John, what are you be sharing?
We're going to be covering from my book, Money Secrets of the Rich, the 7 levels of investors, so you can clearly identify where you're at and what you need to do to move forward with your money. We're also going to cover the 7 money steps of the rich, including the automatic money system. And then we're going to finish up with how to safely and securely make far more money than the stock market in real estate.
and I will share how to grow your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid, and how to gain positive cash flow on your money. Your personal bank can enhance personal finances, business investments, and real estate investing.
So don't miss this unique opportunity to not only learn, but meet other successful investors.
Register at yourpersonalbank.com. Join us January 18th. Space is extremely limited. And tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show Tuesdays at noon.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. So one of the things that I'm really encouraged by going forward with the new Trump administration is they have discussed the need to reduce regulations. I've often shared on this show that in the first Trump administration, one of the biggest things that they did was reduce a number of regulations. And many economists and myself agree, I agree that the reduction of regulations had a bigger positive impact than even the tax reductions. So, for example, it has come out recently that federal regulatory costs average over $15,000 per year per American household under the Biden administration, and this was reported by the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Households pay an average of over $15,000 in hidden regulatory costs, which for the average American household consumes 17% of their income. The average American is in the 22% tax bracket. Now, it's a graduated scale, so you don't, and there's standard deductions and things like that. So the typical American does not pay 22% of their income in tax. They're just in the 22% bracket. Typical American pays around, I've seen the numbers, somewhere around 12 to 15% of their income in tax. Well, it turns out they're paying that or more, according to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, 17% of their income on regulatory costs. So therefore, government is actually costing the average American around 30% of their income annually. Well, if the Trump administration cuts those regulatory costs in half, for example, that in itself would add about $7,000 of disposable income for the average American household. You want to see economic prosperity? That will lead towards a lot of that. That's something that can be changed fairly quickly, and we would see the positive economic impact of that within, say, the next year. So again, I have many reasons, economically and otherwise, to be very bullish about the future direction of the country. And as Thomas Sowell stated, no society ever thrived because it had a large and growing class of parasites living off those who produce. There is no reason that we have so many overlapping agencies that are wasting our money, and there's no reason for the federal government to be the largest employer in our country. That's why I'm really excited about the Department of Government Efficiency. In fact, if you go on X, Elon Musk has promised to create a watch list of some of the most ridiculous wastes of our taxpayer money. Again, the government has no money. It's a common misconception. When the government states they're going to spend money here, do this or do that, they have zero money. Where do they get the money from? Taxpayers. Or through inflation by spending more, which everyone pays more for. Milton Friedman, famous economist, stated that the cost of government is not what they tax you. The cost of government is what they spend, because you're going to pay it either in taxes or in higher inflation costs. Of course, the last 4 years, we've seen that significantly. And this is why I'm so encouraged about the future. I was really uncertain. I've had a little more time to think about the results of the recent election. And I just was not certain that enough Americans understood some of these economic realities. again, I don't expect everybody to understand the numbers and the stats and all the many of the things I share on this show, but just to understand it on a basic level that, hey, this isn't right. We're going the wrong direction. Things need to be fixed, and I'm going to do something about it. And maybe that was the part where I was the least sure. Is that going to be, are there going to be enough people that are going to do something about it, get out and vote accordingly? And as I stated last week, I couldn't be more proud of the American people. They're the majority of them, at least. The majority of Americans still are reasonable, rational, thinking people. They're intelligent. They're not stupid. They're not foolish. And they understand when there's a problem. And they're still willing to do something, take action through their vote, to do something about it. I couldn't be more proud. I couldn't be more proud to be an American. Now, there are those out there that are disappointed. I believe we're going to see a situation gradually as they live in a better and better economy and a better society that they will benefit too. If they just don't realize it yet. And some will come to gradually realize that things are not going to be nearly as bad. In fact, they're going to realize, wow, it was actually better. I was wrong. Hopefully, some of those people will wake up, change their thinking, and vote differently in the future, like many of us did in this past election. And I want to thank those of you that reached out to me. And it's been a tremendous couple of weeks. I've had so many reach out to me thanking me for the messages that I share on this show, the common sense, the original intention of our country, our founders, what we're about as a society, the economy, all of those things. And I've had so many reach out to me and tell me that I was the catalyst to get them to start to do some research on their own, not just listen to the legacy media or what they're being told by their friends or others, but actually do a little bit of research on their own and actually start to think a little bit. And I've had so many then tell me that they changed their thinking and also the way they voted, some of them for the first times in their life. I couldn't be more humbled. I'm honored that I was able to make that type of impact. Certainly that was my goal. That was my hope. God gave me a platform, and I just believed it was something I needed to do. I needed to use this opportunity to try to share some wisdom, some common sense, some truths. I also understood that at times it was controversial. I was attacked by some. I even lost some radio stations. I certainly lost some clients and some potential clients. I understood all of that. I also understood that if this country got onto a better path economically, got onto a fiscal sanity, it would be better for the economy, it would be better for the people. But being a person who focuses on guaranteed monies, tax-free, if the Harris administration, and I was asked this in a workshop, and many times, if the Harris administration implemented a unrealized capital gains tax, for example, it would have been devastating for our economy. But I would have probably been one of the busiest people in the country because people would have wanted to move vast amounts of money into tax-free buckets, which is my specialty. So personally, from a personal standpoint, I would have thrived. I mean, I do well anyway. Don't get me wrong. Don't feel bad. But I would have thrived beyond anything that probably I could imagine in my career. Yet, I didn't want to see that happen to people and to my country, because it would have been bad for most people. It would have hurt most people. It would have hurt the society and the country that I live in. It would have hurt the future I would have had for my family, my children, and anyone I knew. Again, I'm a financial person. There are a lot of things out there that are more important than money. And having a balance and having perspective is key. And I guess much of what I was sharing in the first segments today has to do with that exact thing about balance. Balancing a portfolio, having diversification, makes sense. Going too far one way or the other can hurt you financially. If you get on the extreme end of one end where you have too much money at risk, you can certainly have tremendous gains, but you also can suffer tremendous losses. On the other side of the coin, if you never take a risk on anything, well, you may not thrive that much. You certainly won't lose. For those that are very risk adverse, that can be an option for them. But for the vast majority of the people, somewhere in the middle is probably the best solution. And I'm reminded of this meeting I had some years ago with a couple. And this is something that happens quite often, where I asked the husband and the wife a simple question, because they were not in agreement of how much of their portfolio should be at risk and so how much of it should be safe. So I asked the couple to write down a percentage of what they thought should be at risk and then hand that note to each other. The husband looked at the note from his wife and it said 25%, and the wife looked at her note from the husband and it said 75%. And they both were confused, and the husband's like, "You mean you want 25% safe?" And she said, "No, I want 25% at risk." And the husband said, "You wrote 75%. We agree, you meant the same thing." He's, "No, I mean 75% at risk." In other words, they were opposite ends of the spectrum. He wanted 75% at risk. She wanted 25% at risk. For their situation, their age, the amount of money they had, frankly, 75% at risk was probably too high for them. And 25% at risk was probably too low. And I pointed that out to them. And I said, "You're both kind of, this is not uncommon, actually, with husband and wives. And frankly, the real solution, the best solution for you, is probably somewhere in the middle. The most common recommendation we all know is the 60-40 stock bond or stock and guaranteed asset split." Fortunately, they agree. They came to agreement, decided to move everything into a 50-50 split. They weren't that far away from retirement, so that's not an unreasonable combination. And it's what worked for them, and they felt good about that. And both sides felt good about that. If you're married, that's a discussion you likely should have. What percentage are you at? One may be far more risk adverse than the other. And frankly, somewhere in the middle is probably the best solution for you. I encourage you to have that conversation. And if you want to look at some of the guaranteed, safe, tax-free options that your personal bank or annuities can offer, I encourage you to contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. As always, stay tuned to the Your Personal Bank show. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information.
This is Ferentz, host of the Your Personal Bank show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans, and without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. it's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.